Thank you, Eleanor. Morning, everyone. You glad to be at church? Honestly? It's a strange thing, church, isn't it? It really is. I mean, it's only God that could have come up with something like church. And it's only us that come up with the way we do church, the expression that we have. And a fascinating thing about the early church was the way they identified each other was not that they turned up to a building, was that they loved one another. And we've got a word called love, which is probably one of the most overworked words that I think is in the English language. And it's a challenge for us. You know, I love chocolate. I love my dog, mostly. I love God. Well, we had a fairly robust discussion slash debate on Friday night at the home group about love, what it means, how this thing works out. It's fairly complicated. Love is a complicated word. We like to think it's easy peasy, but it's a bit complicated. Before we go there, though, from my files, a man asked his wife what she'd like for her birthday. "I'd love to be six again," she replied. So on the morning of her birthday, he got up bright and early, and off they went to a local theme park. What a day. He put her on every ride in the park. The death slide, the screaming loop, the wall of fear, everything there was. Whoa! 5 hours later, she staggered out of the theme park, her head reeling, stomach upside down. Right to McDonald's they went, where her husband ordered her a Big Mac along with extra fries, refreshing chocolate shake. And then it was off to a movie, the latest Star Wars epic, hot dogs, popcorn, Pepsi, M&Ms. What a fabulous adventure. And finally she wobbled home with her husband, collapsed into bed. He leaned over and lovingly asked, "Well, dear, what was it like being six again?" "When I opened, you idiot, I meant my dress sized." I thought so too. Oh, you know, the most common destroyer of relationships, not impatience, it's not apathy, it's not unkindness, it's envy. It's envy. Love does not envy. So kind of putting it in the negative, you know, what is love? Love is this, but love does not envy. It's impossible to envy someone and love them. That's what it gets down to. What is envy? Really, really, what is it? The best that I could come up with, and everybody's got a definition, and Google's got one, very handy. It's resenting God's goodness to others and ignoring God's goodness to me. Oh, wow. This is an unseen, silent, I don't see envy, but, you know, it's very much hidden. And yet it's right there in the list. Fascinating that God in his wisdom chose to put 1 Corinthians 13 right in between chapter 12 and chapter 14. Brilliant. But what's that about? It's right in the middle of a discourse of spiritual gifts and how to use them within the body of Christ. And I think that what happens is that we can do church at any level we like, but if there's not love attached to it, if it's not loving, then it really counts for nothing. So evil, envy and evil kind of go together a little bit. You might think that's too strong, envy and evil. Well, this is what James 3:16 says. And you can look it up in any translation. It might even be in the Passion. And it might be in the Message. You might read the same there. "Wherever there is envy, you'll find every kind of evil." I thought this was interesting. James 3:16. "Wherever there is envy, you'll find every kind of evil." That's a pretty strong statement. So I looked up some things about this. Here's what I found. Here's some of them. Anorexia. People starve themselves because they envy skinny people. Adultery. People envy somebody else other than their spouse, so they steal them from someone else. Bitterness. You resent people and things that you wish you had achieved. Complaining. Conflict. Dishonesty. Exaggeration. People overstate accomplishments out of envy. Gossip. We build ourselves up, tear other people down out of envy. Hypocrisy. Insecurity, judgmentalism, manipulating. It causes us to scheme and want to get our own way. There's a big list going on here. The first murder in the Bible was over envy. It was the first demonstration of the worship wars of church. Cain killed his brother because of worship style. Wow. Obsession. Envy can cause you to obsess over a thing or over an event. It can make you power hungry, rude, sarcastic, spiteful, stingy, stubborn, unforgiving, ungrateful, unkind, and vain. Have I missed anything? That's just a few of them. Not a pretty picture. True? Ecclesiastes 4:10 says it like this. I've learned why people work so hard to succeed. It's because they envy the things their neighbors have. And Proverbs 14:30 is an interesting scripture. It's what it says in the Voice, which is my favorite translation of the moment. A serene heart can add years to one's life, but jealous passion rots the bones. Envy. Jealous passion. I thought it was a good way of putting it. Is it worth it? Absolutely not. Nothing destroys friendships and relationships quicker than rivalry. I mean, you think of sibling rivalry. Any of that happen in your family? How does that happen? It happens out of envy. Love does not envy. So sometimes we learn about something by what it's not rather than what it is. And this morning I've chosen a story. And it's a story that we've had here not too long back, but I thought it was worthwhile reading and sharing it with you again. It's a story you know. It's about it's a parable about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like this man who goes out and he hires some people to work in his vineyard. Matthew 20. They did it all the wrong way. But the landowner, he had a strange thing goes up. He hires five different workers, day workers. They used to hang around until they could get somebody who would employ them for the day. And he goes out and he gets hold of these, it might have been a gang, it might have been a group of people, we're not told. It's a parable. It's illustrating a truth. And he hires them and he says, I'll give you one denarii a day, a denarius. We'll call it a dollar a day. That was the agreed price for working the day. And then four other times, right up until 5 o'clock at night, he goes out and he gets four other groups and he hires them and he said, I'll give you whatever is fair. And at the end of the day, excuse me, they didn't have to wait till the 20th of the month. At the end of the day, he asked his foreman to pay out the day workers. So he gets those that came last at 5 o'clock, and this is 6 o'clock, he's paying them. They worked for 1 hour, and he pays them a denarius. Right to the first guys who went there right at the beginning of the day and slaved all day in the hot sun and gave them a denarius. And you can imagine the result. And it's there in the scriptures in Matthew 20 in black and white, the result of what their response would be. It's not fair. And that's a Kiwi saying, is it not? It's not fair. And I want to tell you that expression that you see on TV, that you read wherever you go, that you hear out of the lips of so many people, it's just not fair. The root of that is envy. It's not fair. If I start saying it's not fair, it means that I am doing something. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. They became very, very envious of those that had been given a denarius for working 1 hour, and they'd been working the whole 12 hours. Big day. Wow. Well, how do you get rid of this thing called envy? How do you deal with it? Because I guarantee you, if you search not too far down, you'll find that all of us in some way envy at some time. I think that's why it's in the book. So if you want to get envy out of your life, first thing is you've got to stop comparing yourself to others. That's the first thing. Verse 10 of Matthew 20, if you're reading along with that. And other workers who had arrived during the day were paid each of them a day's wage. And finally, the workers who had been toiling since early morning came thinking they'd be paid more, but the foreman paid each of them a day's wage. In other words, they started comparing, even though they had agreed on the price. It just wasn't fair. Why should those guys get more than we? It's just not fair. Is that embedded in our culture or what? When we compare, it's just not fair. Well, we should never compare ourselves to someone else. That's the first thing. And number one is that we're unique. You're unique. God made you and threw away the mold. There's no one like you on the earth and no one like me. And someone says, well, praise God. You're unique. God has stamped his image on you and you are unique. We are his image bearers. Amazing. Unique. Special. So you can't compare yourself to anyone else. There's nothing to compare. Everybody's unique. And yet we do it out of envy. We do it, I mean, there's so much pressure in our culture. Whatever it might be, the way we dress, the way we look, the body shape that we have, you name it. You fill in the blank. It's there. We compare. But you're unique. Number two, if you start comparing, there's going to lead to one of two other sins, if you like. And that is pride or envy. And we compare ourselves. That's what it is. Start comparing yourself. Like, you know, I like the way you do this, or you've got such and such. Appreciation is one thing, but when we start, oh boy, it starts pride. I've got more than you, or you've got more than me, or whatever it might be. You can feel that come descending upon you if you start comparing yourself. However, one of the things when we're living overseas in America is that the differences in our culture to the American culture is quite surprisingly unique. There's a lot of differences. One of them is that in America, when someone rises, you know, in education or they get a salary or something, when someone rises, it's celebrated. Yay, well done. High five. When someone rises in our culture, chop them down. Right? Because we compare. Wow. But if you knew the pain, if you knew what it took for some people to rise, you wouldn't want to live their life to get there. Because so often we do it superficially. We look and we want and we don't have. And we say, well, why should they be able to get that? Or why should the other? You know, I've heard so much. I've heard a lot within the Christian community, unfortunately, about some of our immigrants that arrive here. And I can think of one Indian family not too far away. They arrive here, and within a very short period of time, they're driving a very nice car. They've got a business that they've bought. And it's kind of like, well, where did they get the money to do that? We helped them get here. You know, envy. Well, if you look inside the culture, you find how they did it. Very simple. They just shared all they had. And so one person, we bought them a car. And we're rejoicing over the fact that they've got a car. So the next one is that we'll all work together and we'll buy them a car. See? But we Kiwis, we don't do it like that. You're on your own. We don't know the whole story. Envy occurs when we really don't know people, or we don't get inside their story. We can see people from a distance, but we don't get to know them. It's important to start getting to know people. You know, every one of us has hidden stuff, hidden hurts. And when you discover those, we're not envious of that. But God has tailor-made our cross. It's for each one of us to carry and to bear. Just right for us. Next thing you have to do is start enjoying God's grace on others. This is so hard to do. You know, when somebody really gets blessed with material things, or they get blessed with this, and to enjoy the favor that they have, is that hard to do? Oh, I believe it is. We've got to start enjoying God's grace to other people. When you see God being kind and good to people, rather than be envious of that, to celebrate it. It doesn't come naturally. There's something within us that just doesn't come naturally. The opposite to what these workers did, right? Look at verses 10 and 11. The workers who had been hired first thought they would be given more than the others. But when they were given the same, they began complaining to the owner of the vineyard, and he said, "Are you envious because I'm generous to them?" Oh, are you envious because I'm generous to them? Sometimes God is just generous to people in a way that's different than he's generous to us, and it causes some reaction in their heart. You know, it's much more difficult to rejoice when somebody has a success. Now, the essence of gossip, or envy if you will, right down there, when somebody gets some blessing is great, but when some misfortune happens to them, there's something rises in so many hearts that comments on that. Envy comes most often in the area that we're most gifted and good at. I do not get envious of people who sew clothes. I just don't. Could I get envious of people who are preachers that do it so much better than I could do it? Who have so many nuances that I could never find for some reason? I didn't find that in the book when I looked at it. Or athletes that look at the area of strength that we have, whatever it might be. It might be athletes, might be musicians. That's the place to find envy at work with others. Writers envy other writers. Musicians envy other. Brothers envy other brothers, and so on. It's a hidden sin. We don't think it's so bad. It's a choice. But let's rejoice at the favor of God on others. Here's another one. Be grateful for what you have. You know, Paul said, "I have learned the secret of being content." Oh, look, it's so hard to be content in our culture. It really is. Instead of focusing so much on what you don't have, focus on what you do have. Learning to be content. That's what Paul said. Instead of complaining like these workers did about what wasn't happening, what they didn't get, we learn to realize that, you know, without God, God has given us so much. Envy is based on a myth, by the way. The myth is that I have to have more to be happy. And have you heard of the if only little thing that goes on in people's lives? You know, or when it happens. I will be able to do this when. I'll be able to be happy when. Or I'd be happy if. You know, all those kind of things. All out there. Be grateful for what we have. That's how we deal with envy. Be grateful. We all struggle with it. Hard to admit it. But we all struggle. Ecclesiastes 6:9 said, "It is better to be satisfied with what you have than always be wanting something else." You know, certain times in our life, it's kind of like that. kind of starts when we're pretty little people, wanting that other toy, simply because they've got it. If they didn't play with it, we wouldn't even notice it. True? I tell you what, things don't change as we get older, quite often. We see something and think, yeah, I want. That's what advertising is based on. We see something, there's an incredible dissatisfaction locked up in advertising. People are paid humongous salaries to tell you what you need and to create and work out that natural envy for this better product, this better looking thing, this one that's got more bells and whistles and gadgets and things like that on it. How on earth do they sell iPhones every year for $1,300? How do they do that? By tweaking something that I'm going to pay all these dollars for because it's now waterproof. Such and such a phone has been waterproof for about the last 10 years. Masters at it. Skillful at it. I'm not just picking on iPhones. I'm an Apple guy. I'm not just picking on iPhones. But you see that the envy that's created in there, the dissatisfaction of that. Here's another one. We've got to trust God when life seems unfair. When it looks like God's blessing somebody in a way that he's not blessing us, we need to relax a little and trust that God is still blessing us, but in maybe different ways. It's not fair. I said that at the beginning. It's just not fair. It's the catch cry of our culture. But if that is starting to happen in your life, that's a warning. And it's in my life, it's a warning that's not loving. It's not love. This is envy starting to happen here. So what happens is we try to do some things. If I worked a little bit more, if I did this, if I did the other, just trust that God is, he's a good God, a loving God. He's given us what we need. So in this story, Jesus told them, the workers felt that they were being treated unfairly. Oh boy, I think that's why it was put there. Not because they weren't paid what they were promised. They just felt they were treated unfairly because they compared themselves to another and so on. Verse 12. These last workers have put in only one easy hour, and yet you have made them equal to us. You can hear the envy in that. Oh, well, they've got it easy. They've had it easy. Man, have I had it hard to get where I've got. And they've just, they've just come up smelling of roses. You know the proverbial. Only one easy hour. We're better than them. We who have slaved all day under the scorching sun, we're better than those guys. The owner says simply this, friends, I didn't cheat you. I paid you exactly what we agreed on. What business is it of yours if I want to pay them the same that I paid you? Don't I have the right to do whatever I want to do with my own money? Remember, this is a parable about the kingdom of God and what it's like. It's what the kingdom of God is like. It seems unfair from a human perspective, but very fair from God's. We're doubting God's goodness and his provision when we look at it in a different way than that. Do you think God has your best interest at heart? You think God loves you? Jesus loves me, this I know. Well, the Bible tells me so. Do you think he loves you? He cares for the sparrows. Do you think he's going to care for you? He's going to look after you? Do you think God loves somebody else more than he loves you? No. Equal measure. Equal measure. He loves everyone. You start building an entire case of God against God because of something that's gone on, and it doesn't work well with us here. Just relax. Trust God. Here's the fifth one, and I close with this. Keep focused on God's unique plan for you. God has got you in mind. I'm continually amazed at the way God has revealed to us that even before the foundation of the earth, He had you in mind, and He had me in mind. And He has our destiny mapped out. We've just got to walk into it. We've got to walk into it rather than see it out there and wish it out there and hope for it out there and even pray for it out there or envy it out there. We've just got to walk into it. The reason so many people don't enjoy the goodness of God and His unique plan for us is because we just don't walk in it. We don't trust Him in it. We don't go for it. In the verse 14 of the story, he said, take your money now and go. Basically saying to those who are complaining, who just can't get past this thing of others having more than they do, he's basically saying, get a life, get on with it. I gave you what I promised I'd give you. Now live it out. Quit having a pity party. Just get over it. It's a fine counseling tool. Get over it. Sorry, I just had to shoot that one out there. Sometimes we just get stuck. We can't see God's plan for our lives. You know, a person who I admired really, but I struggled to see, and I can now, looking back, I can see what was going on, but at the time, a certain measure, I suppose, of what was going on for this, always wished for a ministry. And it was a great ministry. It was a camp. And he had this vision of a camp where all kinds of things were going to happen. But he saw something and he believed that that's what it was going to be. Now that sounds pretty spiritual and pretty right. He lived out his whole life. As far as I know, he's now passed away, that he never saw the camp come to completion. Why? Because he didn't walk out there and make it happen. He had this vision of what it would be like. And I can remember there was an opportunity came up in the world that I was in at that time. Saw the opportunity and there was just something wrong. There wasn't enough water in it. And refused it and turned it down. Didn't walk in it. Didn't enter into it. Could have been an awesome, awesome place. Another situation, so it was in Nelson, so I'll tell you where it was. It was on Rabbit Island. Rabbit Island would have been an awesome place for a camp. And then there was another one that came up, and so there was three that came into his world. And that was the dress optional camp that was there. came up for sale. Essentially, it would have worked well. I don't know about the dress optional part, but certainly the camp would have been, you know, an awesome place for it. But he didn't walk into that. Why? Because God had this unique plan for him, but he failed to walk in it. He failed to walk in it. Sometimes we can't see God's plan for our life because we are dreaming and envying of something that we want. And it's the right motive. We're just missing it. Just missing it. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. It means a unique race, that particular word. Personal race. The race that's only for us. Unlike His plan for anyone else. Get in there and do that. As I said in Psalm 139, you saw me before I was born and scheduled every day of my life before I began to breathe. We've got to trust God and all that, but we've got to walk into it. And then the last little piece in this story that is mysterious for anyone is this. And he said, and so it is that many who are first will now be last. Or in the voice translation, it reads like this. And so it is that many who are first now will be last then. He's talking about a value system of the kingdom and what is fair and what has God done And this whole thing called envy comes into it. So the verse 1, I'll remind you of this. Verse from chapter 20, verse 1, the kingdom of heaven is like a wealthy landowner who got up early in the morning, went out, first thing to hire workers to tend his vineyard. Everyone gets a share in the kingdom. Everyone does. The first, the last. Sometimes we try to make that verse seem what it's not and becomes too mysterious, but in the context of this thing, everyone gets a share. We do not need to envy. Love does not envy what we haven't got. A lot of people in the Christian life are envious of others. Sometimes those who have a particular walk in the Spirit, some are envious of that. Don't understand it, don't know it, doesn't feel right. I've never experienced anything like that. Become envious of it. Others who absolutely know their Bible inside out, man, they can quote it, become envious of their knowledge. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's who you know. God has given you certain talents, certain abilities, certain strength. Unique. Got to run that race yourself. It's for you. He gave you that talent. Look, I am convinced that some of you even here this morning, you have got gifts and abilities that the body of Christ needs to have. Why? Because God gave them to you individually to share with the world. I so love, and I think I mentioned this on another occasion, a friend of ours, Randy Gladden, God has given him the gift and ability to create wealth. He is amazing. He knows that, and that's what he does. And he shares his time and his life with the body of Christ, helping them create wealth for kingdom purposes. I love it. He's discovered his destiny. He's walking in it. He's not envious of anybody else. God has given him this. Somebody could be envious of his ability to get 12% interest when everybody else is only getting 3. He gave you a talent for the benefit of other people. Life is about living, and it's about giving, and it's about using what we have. So love is something that we do. It's an action. We're talking about this on Friday night. Is it an emotion or an action? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You can't see what love is like until something happens. Otherwise, it's just locked up. So love does not envy. Love does not envy. Well, I hope some of that might be useful. Any of that might be useful this morning? You're not supposed to go away from here feeling condemned and beaten up. You're supposed to go away with good news, feeling built up. And I trust that that's so. So if there's anything there that God by the Spirit might have put his finger on, that's okay. That's so we can do adjustments and walk in his love. Okay. There's a modern hymn that we're going to sing, In Christ Alone. It was produced in 2010. It seems like an old hymn, but it's quite a modern hymn. And the two guys that put it together, the vocals and the music, one of them is from Ireland. You know, there's a lot of amazing worship that's come out of Ireland. We're appreciating it a lot. In fact, it really goes back to Patrick. St. Patrick, and revival, Celtic revival, if you like. But this is another modern song. Enter into this one. It's got some amazing words, some amazing thinking behind it. In Christ Alone. Let's sing that one. Thank you. we thank you today that there is no fear in love. Perfect love has cast out fear. Lord, we are mindful and we wonder again at the incredible love that you've demonstrated in Jesus for us. And Lord, all your goodness is poured out upon us as your people, day by day, moment by moment. And yet so often we fall a bit miserable from that, and we start envying. Lord, I thank you that your word teaches us that true love, perfect love, the kind of love that is demonstrated in who Jesus is, the kind of love that's the hallmark of the kingdom of heaven, is love that doesn't envy, doesn't want what someone else has. Lord, that we will be these things that we've talked about this morning, but we will be most of all demonstrations of your love that give ourselves for others. And so in Jesus' name I ask this today. Amen. So our benediction today is to go into the world knowing the goodness of God, because that deals with all those other things. God bless you.